and it's over. No, it's not over. You've missed the point. Religions have usurped your world incorrectly. Religions manipulate you and control you because mankind is basically afraid. He knows he errs, and possibly he knows he deserves to be swatted down, and therefore he expects his higher self to make himself pay. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And it's never going to work. You have to assume responsibility for what you are, what you think, and what you intend. Because God is going to look at one thing, your intent. You can't lie about it. You can even think you intend to do some good, but if it does not measure up with those laws that have been birthed within you on birthday, you're going to fall short. God is very, very simple. And yes, there is a place. We'll call it the gathering of souls. It's not limbo land. It's where soul essence resonates in tune with God. And yet there are disadvantages to that dimension of experience. So you don't want to move into that dimension of experience until you've learned your cotton picking lessons. Because in the world of physical dimension, where you have the right to practice your intent, make your choices, and do your actions in a physical sense of beingness, you're going to get over there where you don't have any hands or legs or anything to help you out. And it's going to be a space of confusion. Just because you pass the veil and cross the threshold, it depends on your level of understanding and your level of knowledge, knowingness, that determines where you are in this limbo land. And if you think you're going to go from the lowest of error makers with intentional contempt for the priceless treasures of Creator, and you think you're going to just hop over there into a better world of milk and honey, you're going to get stuck in the muck. It isn't that way. And it's time we work together to get it squared away enough that if we can prevent the all-out stupidity of pulverizing your planet, for instance, since you are only illusion anyway, this whole experience, we talk about hail bop. What difference does it make what hail bop is? What are you? What are you? So if you are coalesced energy in only a sequence of activities of seeming motion, because you're like a sequence of lights going off and on, perhaps it gives you the illusion of movement, but really it's just one little bulb going on and off in sequence to the next. So your whole universe is built on a pulse wave, electric motion, like a piston. Just exactly like a piston. And eventually the concept is always in a spiraling form, without beginning, without end. And depending on what frequency you use for your vibrations, depends on whether or not you are visible. You are extremely slow motion, and basically all we look at is your energy form. And all you can perceive of a higher dimension to being is a simple feeling of energy. slow that energy down a little bit, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And at some point, we are able to at least be visible to one another. And I'm talking about the generalities of a dimensional shift or a dimensional change. This is one reason suicide is such an error in the mental thought processes of an individual. I will just kill myself and end this misery. What do you think is going to be different over here? Other than more confusion, because the mind is the same. And you have now done away with that ability to deal with the mental things in a physical environment of choice. You're stuck there until you either go around again, and sometimes that's a long, long time in coming, but God has time. Perhaps you think you don't, but that is only in the perception of the environment in which you find yourself. All of these fantastic tales, as he mentions, when you talk about fiction and nonfiction. Ones will say, well, it's so boring to be good. There's nothing entertaining about it. You're going to have responsibility in sex, responsibility in food, responsibility in dress, you're just going to stick us with responsibility. Well, why don't you try it? Confound it, you might find you like it. It opens whole new vistas of experience. And while all of those ones are running and hiding or looking for those places to hide, they're going to find there wasn't any place to run and hide, especially from self. But what has happened on your place? And I will refer most of you back 7 or 8 years when we first began to have these lessons. I had to get all of those books, those titles back there on that wall, out. So that exactly what happened, Bruce can say 6, 7 years ago, Satan's Drummers. We have got to have already written it down. I can't tell you individual truth about every tiny detail or happening or individual, but I can give you what is necessary for the whole and tell you of the universal oneness. And it's not an easy job, but it's a challenging, rather fun job. I doubt David has actually been bored in 10 years. And when you think, well, I just learned about babies and children underground over China Lake and this sort of thing, Springmeier writes about, well, my goodness, your chin goes down too, doesn't it? Well, son of a gun, can you believe this? And then suddenly, you have to believe this. You have to understand that truth is that which is, while they're telling you all this other garbage. But you only have to deal with the truth. And as long as you set your anchor in the truth of what is, and the realization and the knowing about your association and your God and yourself and your creator and your creation, you stop being so blameful. Oh my goodness. And after a while, you get up and it's another nasty job, but somebody's got to do it. And so you get up and you say, oh hell, let's just go do it. Let's just go do it. I can't wait for Joe to do it, and I can't wait for Pollyanna to do it. She ain't ever going to do anything but tip around on her goody two-shoes. But this can't be reality, your brain will scream at you. It is without all humanity, as in the terms of higher universal man. But let me tell you something. This is what is the basis of man. Lower universal man. And that's why you have planets like Earth for you to experience. It's why you have messengers, teachers, and angels, whatever you want to call them, that show up when you need them if you're on the team. And it's the ability to confront truth, accept truth, weed out the trash, and keep moving. Because you know within it must be done. Because it lays a foundation. Ones can come and say, well, but if you ever want a real paper, you're going to have to do this and this and this and this. I don't want a real paper then. Our paper reaches exactly the ones we need it to reach. And the most avid readers are your enemies. They're cheap about it, but that's to be expected. That runs in the lineage. Our job is not to explain it. Our job is simply to state it. And the more stating it, the safer it gets to state it. The more people pinpointing the truth, the less dangerous it is to anyone. It's why ones ask me, why would you point to this one or that one or the other one and mention something about them? Won't that get them in trouble? No. Publicity will save your ass. It is really going to be hard, for instance, for anyone to bump off David Icke now. Even 5 years ago, he might not have been so missed for a while. But the more publicly known you are, it's going to be harder. It's going to be harder to lie about you here in Tehachapi after last week ever again in this world. They can't bash you. They can try, but they're not going to make it. And worse than that, you see, here for these ones, David's got to go on out there because he has put his human stamp on this thing that he does. I have not put my human stamp on this thing. She's a typist. The truth is there made available. And we haven't even hardly begun. So we will just keep right on going. But you see, we don't have to concern with whether people believe us or do not believe us. And the less they believe us, the more they leave us alone. And in this particular area, I want the people left alone. Doris did a good job of telling them what they had done. You know, we have never asked for anything. We haven't asked for any attention. We have wanted nothing. And look what you've done. In 5 minutes, you've destroyed. And it actually hurt their feelings. There actually is life and love in these beings. All you've got to do is reach in there and touch it. They were shamed. But that doesn't stop their editors from doing a job, does it? But you made some friends here that day. And the less attention ever called to this place, the more we're going to get done. Because we are going to do some very magnificent things. And now we have people arguing over who's going to do it first for you. I just wish they'd get on with it. But when these things begin to flow, some of the team can begin to back up a little bit and get a little rest. And then we can support so that it doesn't drain the life flow out of the ones like David that have to keep going. Because they are now a face, a personality, and they will grow and grow and grow and grow. And he is absolutely right. There's no one going to touch him. He's not concerned about them. And the minute you stop being concerned about these buggers, the moment you start living, they haven't anything. They cannot stand against the truth. They cannot and will not stand against the light. So we're just going to keep uncovering and uncovering and uncovering. And meanwhile, we need to get some remnants through. And we're going to do it. And in that journey, we'll be able to offer many, many things to many, many ones. Are they going to depopulate this place? And when I say they, don't assume God is going to knock you off. But yes, hurt your heart? Well, you made that choice of allowing it to happen or stopping it long, long, long ago. But we are going to evolve into a wondrous society, because it has never occurred to us that it would be otherwise. And when it quits occurring to you that it might be otherwise, then is the day we start accomplishing things. And it's happening. Everybody want a break? Interrogate David.
I just like to say a few things after that. First of all, different points. The thing that I think is most magnificent about Contact and makes it so different from any other publication I've come across, apart from my own books, is that Contact is has the same attitude to life as me. If they believe it's true, they publish it. So many publications that talk about truth and talk about standing up for freedom, they are immediately starting to run back in fear of consequences for certain stuff, so that stuff stays out in the so-called magazines and papers that are speaking truth. And, you know, I remember what Gandhi was apparently supposed to have said once: even if you're in a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. And I think Contact, for that reason, among others, is a very unique publication. Also, I recall something I put in this book. There was an American comedian called Bill Hicks, who was a very brave man and a very angry man, but he used humor brilliantly to expose a lot of the nonsenses, because when you look at what's going on in the world, a lot of it's funny, you know, because it is ludicrous. And he was talking once, he used to finish his act talking about life and what it was. Something, you know, we talked about this afternoon, the physical world is just thought made physical. It's just an illusion. And he summed up life like this. I think it was brilliantly done. He said it's like a ride in an amusement park. And when you go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. The ride goes up and down, round and round. It has thrills and chills. And it's very brightly colored. And it's very loud. And it's fun for a while. Some have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And others have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people. Shut him up. We've got a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account. And my family, this has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try to tell us that, and let the demons run amok. But it doesn't matter, because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. No job, no savings of money, just a choice right now between fear and love. And what I think we've created is fear made physical. That's what we're looking at. And we can make this love made physical with another choice. And I couldn't agree more that one of the things that I guess the greatest thing I've remembered, because that's what we're doing, remembering, is there's no such thing as no choice. Just a series of choices, some which we'd like to make and some which we wouldn't rather not like to make, but they're just choices to be made. I've got a 4-year-old boy at home in England, and by the time I get home, I've been away for 6 months in 9, and it's only just beginning. And that part of this is killing me, but I have a choice. I could choose not to do this, or I could choose to do it. And I can't say I have no choice, I've got to do it, because I have a choice, I could choose not to do it for a while. But in the end, the more you open up, but you found this, the more you open up, the more the power within you, the direction within you, urges you on. And in the end, once you step on this conveyor belt, you start to see what's really happening in the world. There is no turning back, because you can't face yourself if you try to turn back once you realize what's going on. And the kind of world my 4-year-old and other 4-year-olds are going to live in, unless we wake up and take our power back. And that's all we need to do. It's just a choice, you know, just a choice.
I had some thoughts in generating along here with all these stories this morning when we were studying with these enlightened beings of other realms, and they point out that what we seem to be talking about is the power of sound, or what the Baba would call Matrika Shakti, and he would describe how it would start at the solar plexus and come up through Pashanti, the heart, where it's 1,000 times more powerful. As it moves to the throat, with 1,000 times more power, the Vaikari. As it moves to the end of the tongue, with 1,000 times more of that previous power. Before you spit it out, like venom from a snake, you take a thought, and you think, is it the truth? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Well, I was going to ask you and Commander to both comment on the meaning of those three positions right there, because we're really wrapped up in truth here. Is it kind to talk about George Bush and some of his habits? And it sure seems necessary to expose these things. At the end of your statements on that, my real question is, how do you know if you're doing the right thing?
Right. Well, I've got one now. First one. I'll just take the three. First of all, is it kind? Depends what level of kindness you're talking about. I don't guess George Bush thinks it's kind to reveal what he's been doing. But when you're looking at a George Bush's true evolutionary situation, it is very kind to him to reveal what he's doing as part of his evolution as well as everyone else's. Is it kind to accept, as I do, that tens of thousands at least of children are being abused in this way by the day and walk away from it? I don't think that's kind at all. And so we have to make those judgments, and they're the choices we have to make, and we can only make them from what we think is right. Secondly, is it... Second one, is it what?
Truth, kind, is it necessary?
Is it necessary? Well, I think loads of stuff we talk about isn't necessary, necessarily necessary. I must say, if I get caught in a corner at the dinner party, which I avoid like the plague, and I can't remember the last one I've been to, but when I do, I start to realize there's a hell of a lot of things that come out of people's mouths that are utterly unnecessary. Yeah, really, then what happened?
Yeah.
So that takes a bigger point, which I will use under the word focus. I think it's very important that we do get focused on what is actually necessary. Because if we're starting to shoot in all directions, we're actually going to so dissipate the energy we're using that we're not actually going to focus that energy on what will be most effective. And I do think there's great dissipation of energy in organizations I come across, where basically they don't know their ass from their elbow, basically. There's no focus on what are we trying to achieve here. So I think that question is very well worth everyone asking all the time. Otherwise, your energy goes in so many different directions, its power is not what it could be if it was focused. And thirdly was...
Well, how do you know if you're doing the right
thing? How do you know if you're doing the right thing, right? Well, this takes a wider thing for me. People talk about the need to seek enlightenment. I don't think we need to seek enlightenment at all. I don't think enlightenment's ever gone anywhere. I think enlightenment's sharing the same space as ignorance. The highest dimensions of knowledge and love are sharing the same space as ignorance. What I feel we need to do is to remove the barriers we throw up between ignorance and enlightenment. One thing you see enlightenment does, once we allow it in, is it transforms our lives and we start to do things which in the three-dimensional world appear strange and challenging. This is why so many people who are in the prison of the fear of what other people think of them are shutting out enlightenment, because they know what enlightenment's going to take them, and it's going to take them out of the imposed engineered norms like Carl Bloody Lewis. And people are frightened of being different in a world of uniformity. That is the prison. Therefore, they're shutting out enlightenment, which they know is going to take them straight out of the prisons of uniformity. And people are going to call them mad or bad or whatever. What's it bloody matter what people call us? I mean, oh God. But it's for so many reasons. We are shutting out enlightenment because enlightenment is leading us to do things that we think our mother might not like, or the guys down the bar might find funny. And so for many, many reasons, all of them based on fear, we're shutting out enlightenment. Once we let those barriers, that fear, guilt, resentment, I could never, I'm just an ordinary man and woman, those that I call them low vibrational eggshells, when we let them fall, I mean, there's my friend of mine's done a lovely illustration in there of the eggshell principle. Once we let the light in, then two things happen. First of all that suppressed emotion that we haven't wanted to deal with, all that guns that we've pushed down, oh, I don't want to change the subject, I don't want to talk about it, mate, okay? I just don't want to talk about it. That, when we let that light in, that higher dimension of us, because in the end, there's no such thing as a we, just one gigantic I, of which we are expressions of. Once we let that in, it acts like a hose pipe, and all this stuff we've suppressed comes to the surface. So I don't know whether you found this, but I certainly found it big time. Once you let the eggshells crack and the light in, there is a period of very great emotional challenge as your life is turned upside down and you deal with all the stuff that you need to deal with to find a vibrational level in the three-dimensional consciousness, for want of a description, that is the same as our higher consciousness and allow that connection to take place. And once, and this is the answer to the question I'm getting round to. The question, is it right? Is it truth? Is it the right thing to do? Can only be answered by each of us individually, by what we feel is right. Now, that feeling, I've said in this book somewhere, we believe too much and feel too little. It's belief systems that control us. And belief systems tend, because they're head-based, to suppress the feelings intuitive-based. It's that intuition. And that intuition for me is that connection with multidimensional self. All I've done, and it's the only thing I've basically done for the last 7 years, more and more as I've set myself free, is when head and intuition have come into conflict, intuition has always been the way I've gone. And in the end, what you find is that the head and the intuition come into harmony, and they both push you in the same direction. So there's an antennae somewhere here, which you really can't put words to because it's a feeling, that you either know it's right or you don't know it's right. And sometimes your head's going, oh my God, but something here says this is right, and you go with it. And that's, I feel anyway, our connection with who we really are. This is our connection with this world overwhelmingly, and the stuff that comes this way. This comes this way. And when we shut out this, our whole focus for inspiration and information starts to look this way. And therefore we become a manipulator's dream, because most of the information coming this way is controlled by a handful of people. So when this opens, not only do you vibrationally reconnect or start to get closer to who we really are, you start to filter this, because you start to get dead streetwise via this, whether something feels right or doesn't. But in the end, what feels right to one might not feel right to another, because we're all on a different point in the journey with different things to experience. And I think that the danger comes when people start to impose their intuition on someone else. In this old New Age area, I do hear so often people saying to people, trust your intuition, follow your intuition. But what they're saying without saying it is, so often, follow your intuition as long as it agrees with mine, because if it doesn't, you're off your path. And so I know what's right for me, full stop ends. Everyone else knows what's right for them, which is why I would dream of advising anyone what action they should take, because within them they know exactly what they've come here to do and exactly what they've come here to contribute and how they've come to do it. It's accessing that knowledge that's the trick, and that means getting the hell out of the head domination. Not that the head's not got a part to play, domination, and let the feelings, the intuition in there, and go with what that says, even though this is screaming, oh my God, because it's frightened of being different in a world of uniformity. No. I could have feared for England. I could have felt guilty for England. I could have represented the country at all these emotions, you know. The emotion Olympics, I'd have got a gold. Because I feel our journey, and this is why, you know, we've got to start being kind to ourselves. Humanity loves to put itself down. I'm human, give me a slap it, you know. We're on a journey, and if we follow our intuition, there is a point where awakening, particularly if we've come to contribute something, we all have, there's a point where you need to wake up. You can stay asleep after that point, and I think a lot of people still are, but there is a point to wake up, because if you kind of come in and say doing something that I'm doing, which is interacting with people, if I'd have come in as an all-knowing being, I couldn't go around now talking to people and have any relevance or connection with them. Because I wouldn't understand where they're coming from, why they react in certain ways, why they're frightened, why they feel guilty, why they feel insignificant. But having lived about 30-odd years of my life in that same state, you get to understand what these emotions are and what a prison they are. And then there comes the awakening point, and then you've got the balance. You've got the wider understanding because you've accessed more of yourself, but you've also got the understanding of where you were, you know. I was traveling around Australia, and I met the guy who was creating his own reality about every 15 seconds, because he saw himself as a victim, and therefore every day, no matter how well the day had gone, he had to manifest something to feed his addiction to being a victim, because that was his sense of self, that was the imagination of self. So every day, no matter how well the day went, he would manifest a crisis at some point to feed his addiction. Now I could see where he was coming from, and I could understand it, and I learned a lot from observing it, not least because I was looking at myself about 15 years ago. So I think we need to be kind to ourselves. There's no such thing as a bad experience unless we perceive it like that. Only experience. Everyone in this room and everyone on this planet and everyone in creation is not what they are now, despite what has happened to them and what they've experienced. They are what they are because of what has happened and because of what they've experienced. That's one of the things I talk about in the book, you know. One of the things that I believe slows down human evolution so much is that instead of taking this evolutionary process in its simple form, because all genius is simple, experience, learn, evolve, instead of saying, right, I've got what I need to learn from that experience, terrific, I'm a more enlightened being now, right, move on. We take with us, because of the conditioning, the debris of experience, the guilt, the resentment, the fear, and all this stuff. And so that becomes weights then that we have to carry. The journey actually gets harder because of all the emotional weights we're carrying. And yet, from my perspective, we are attracting to us magnetically energy fields we need to interact with, experiences, people, ways of life, and what have you. And therefore, every experience we have is an experience we uniquely need because of where we are on the journey. And it's also, and this is where I think we forget, it's also an experience the people or person we're interacting with needs. Coming back to the thing about George Bush here. So, George Bush is attracting me in as much as I'm attracting him in. Right? Because this is the interaction of states of being. If I'm traveling, and this is why we need to get out of the personality, I think. Because once we get pulled into the personality of an experience, we start to externalize responsibility to the personality. It's your fault, you're to blame, and all this stuff. If I'm traveling through California and I'm in a certain state of being which needs to interact with another state of being for an experience that I need to have for my journey, then that state of being in California will be called Bud or Chuck. If I'm traveling through Germany in that state of being and I need to attract in another state of being, that state of being to interact with. In Germany, that same state of being will be called Wolfgang. In Britain, it will be called Charlie or Fred or Bill. It's just the state of being which I'm pulling in because that's what I need to interact with for the experience I need. So once you get out of the personality, you actually operate on a level which is above this highly programmed, manipulated, conditioned world, and you don't get pulled into that view of ourselves. I was talking about America once and in Australia and underground bases and stuff, and this lady stood up and said, "I'm outraged, you're insulting my country, I'm an American." And I said, "Well, you know, like you're multidimensional infinity. Why are you identifying with a belief system that's been around for little more than 200 years? You know, if we get pulled in, we get pulled into countries, sort of races, we get pulled into religions, we get pulled into all this stuff. But actually what we're doing, we're getting pulled in to a fraction of our consciousness because we're seeing ourselves as what we are experiencing in human form instead of what we are, infinity. And that is a completely different way of living our lives. When you get to the big picture of infinity, of creation, of the ultimate, what we are sorting out here at this time is a little local difficulty. It's big to us because we're living it, but this is a little local difficulty which offers fantastic consequences in the short term in the three-dimensional world as we sort it, but it also offers fantastic challenge, fantastic experiences. So when we get out of here, we'll be far more enlightened beings than we would be if we not had the experience. And what I feel is happening now is that collectively, we are going through a massive evolutionary experience. Just as on an individual level, we experience, learn, evolve. If we learn from the experience, if we don't take stage two and learn from the experience, then we stand still. But is that nothing happens in creation without consequences. That's what the evolutionary process is. So for a long, long time, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, goodness knows how far back, the human race has been given its power away to, quote, leaders and follow and shut its mind down and conceded its uniqueness to fear. That can't happen because nothing can happen in isolation. So what I feel we're at in this point now is creation, the evolutionary process, saying to humanity, hey, over here, this is what happens when you give your power away. This is what happens when you concede your uniqueness to someone else's version of what you should be. This is what happens when you concede your right to be you. Because what you do when you do that is, first of all, you give your life away. If enough of us do it, we give the world away. And that's what we've done. But this edifice of so-called power is a house of cards dependent totally on us doing that. When we take the power back, the power used to control us is also taken back. And this little local difficulty is all over. And we're going to see it, and we're going to live it, because I ain't come here to mess about. Right? I haven't left a four-year-old in England to mess about, and I haven't left wherever I bloody come from, wherever that is, to mess about. This is sort-out time. It's a great time to be alive.
Amen.
It's time for pudding.
A couple of words you mentioned in there. Intuition and feeling. What you want to do with your actions.
So there must be a difference there. So when we asked this teacher the question, how do we know if we're doing the right thing? He said, by the results. So we really can't know if we're doing the right thing because we've got to wait for the results. Or can we actually predict the results and know by that means, or are we just under the power of intuition?
Well, I just disappeared up my own backside and trying to work that out. No, I'm only kidding. I think the question that we need to ask at all times, no, the question I need to ask at all times, is what is my intent? You know, if my intent is positive, then that's good enough for me. And what the outcome is, we then learn from and we get streetwiser. But it's the intent, I think, that is the key point. If you put the intent out there, it's like people, when you put the intent out there that you want to reveal this stuff, you're putting out a magnetic vibrational field, and therefore that vibrational field then starts pulling back to you the stuff and the experiences and the information and the people you need to interact with to do what your intent is out there. If you're this is where focus comes in. If you're not focused and you say, yeah, I'd really like to kind of reveal this, but I don't really know how, and I'm a bit confused. That state of being is going out as a vibrational field, and it's going to pull back complete bloody confusion and chaos around you. This is where focus is so important. This is what I want to achieve. This is what I want to do it with love, and all this stuff. And that's going out, and that will pull back a focused set of physical circumstances interacting synchronistically, which will manifest what your intent is. And in the end, if the intent's out there, powerful enough and focused enough, there's nothing that can stop us. Absolutely nothing. Certainly not the consciousness that George Bush is interacting with, which is, I think, in evolutionary infinity terms, the consciousness that's running this planet is intellectually sharp, but spiritually in the kindergarten. And it's I think that the children just need a little word in their ear, and they need to evolve also. And I think it's so important we don't give too much power away to this, you know, because it is just a local difficulty in creation terms. And we live forever, and the next second is the first second of the rest of our eternity. And whether we get taken out, whether we don't get taken out, we'll just continue our evolution into infinity. So, Indies are knocking as I speak, I'm terrified. If we can hold that big picture, we're actually the higher we of our consciousness we can access, the more powerful the magnetic energy we're accessing and projecting into this world. Therefore, the more detail we can pull back towards us in terms of synchronicity attracting to us all the things we need to do. People don't talk about a magnetic personality just as a throwaway. That's what we are. We're magnetic people.